Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how they're just tired right now. And I know that I went through a week this week where I felt tired too. There's things going back to normal, right? And it's a whole nother adjustment again. And then there's people that are just tired of everything going on, tired of the struggles, tired of the changes, tired. I've just heard so many people mention that word, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I love this song because it talks about how God, remind me that you always have a plan, that no matter what I see happening physically in front of me, that you know exactly where you're taking me. And we have to remember that sometimes. We have to remember, where's our source? Where are we going to refuel? Where are we going to feel strengthened, to get... When we feel weak, He makes us strong. When we feel like there's no rest, He gives us peace. When we feel like the burden is too heavy, He carries it for us. And that's the thing, is our source has to be constant. We have to keep tapping in. We need to constantly be next to Him, constantly praying, constantly reading, constantly going after everything He has. Because when we are tired, is when He can strengthen us. He can revive us. He can give us new things. He can place things in our life that we didn't plan for Him to put there. We didn't know we're gonna be there. We didn't even see coming, but because He knows, He's placing every single thing. Every season you go through, every single thing that happens in your life, He knew it was coming. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a surprise to Him. And He will feed you exactly what you need for that season. He will give you everything you need. But we have to be tapping in. Holy Spirit is within you for a reason. It was a gift that was given to us that we might be able to commune on a regular basis whenever we wanted. And that's the thing, it shouldn't just be a want, right? It should be all the time. In everything we're doing through our day and everywhere we're going, remembering that He's got a purpose. Understand what's happening in this world, when we don't understand what's going on, He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows exactly the plans that He has. That's the thing, is when you feel down, remember that it's to prosper you. So don't feel down. Don't feel like you don't got any more left in you. Tap into the source and allow Him to revive. Allow Him to give you more. Allow for those living waters to just flow. Because He's doing something. He's doing something in you. And don't let the storm waver you. Don't let it push you from side to side. Don't let what you see in front of you be all that matters to you. Know that what you don't see is what's important. That the kingdom is happening and that everything He's doing is working together for good. That He is the potter. He is the artist. He is creating you for exactly the moment, and that's constantly. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. He's constantly making you new. He's constantly putting new things within you. He's constantly giving you new things, revealing new gifts, placing you in new places. It doesn't stop. That's the awesome part of having a living God, right? Is that He's constantly giving us new things. He's feeding us new things that we would have victory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. How many of you glad to be here this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you'd like. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. 3 weeks ago, we opened our doors again. And I want to read Psalm 122. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. It says here, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I was here every Sunday. But it's nothing like having the body of Christ worshiping together. Hallelujah. And honoring our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Can I just say this to you? When you're worshiping God, you are before the throne of a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are standing in the presence of God. Hallelujah. You are in Jerusalem. Glory to God. And I get excited about that. I don't know about you guys. Don't look like you get too excited about anything. But I'm going to tell you this. I get excited about worshiping the Creator of all things. Hallelujah. Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. Is he worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of our praise? Hallelujah. Can you just pick your hands up right now? Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word of God says Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been talking about tribalism. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to tell you, we are the tribe of the Lord. Amen. God's people. The people of the kingdom of God. That's who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. And then it says, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Hallelujah. In the presence of God are thrones of judgment. What is that? Is he mad at you? You go to the house, he's not mad at you. Those thrones of judgment are there for you to find out what you need from God, what he wants to give you. That's what those are for. They're to show you and instruct you. And you know what? There's only one place to be shown things of God and instructed. It's in his presence. That's where he'll show you. That's where he'll teach you. His Holy Spirit has been sent to have communion with you. Hallelujah. Ooh, so I'm thankful that we can meet once again in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's a privilege. It's an honor to meet with you, and to meet with our King. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Such an honor. So, well, I had another honor this morning. Come on, Pastor David. You got Pastor David for all the way from Oklahoma. Everybody said Okie from Okie from Mistokie. Hallelujah. Pastor David, have the Holy Spirit's way. Let him flow through you, Matt. Minister to us. Minister and minister again through what he's given you. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, can we give Pastor Henry just a set up? Sorry, let me. Oh, is this a? I thought it was on wheels.
Oh, now you're picking.
Totally destroying the church right off the bat. Oh man, it is so good to be here today. I was talking to Pastor Henry. Is it destroyed? It needs healing. Lay hands on it. But I am always blessed by your pastor. You know, for all of us, I think with COVID, our lives have been somewhat detoured in some manner, some way, some aspect, the domino effect. I get it. Hey, listen, we don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. I thought Rebecca was going to start preaching my message. Well, I think she preached half of my message, so it saved you a time. Because I really haven't traveled for 3 months. So haven't been in churches for 3 months. I've been in church, but like all of us. But you know what I realize in this season is that God's not limited. He's not. When the man came to Jesus and said, hey, my servant is sick. Can you heal him? And Jesus said, where is he? He said, don't worry about where he is. Just say he's healed. Because Jesus is on location no matter where the location is. And I think sometimes in our mind we get so set on the seen that we don't see the unseen. We get stuck on the what that we're not prepared for the why. You know, what's happening instead of why it's happening. And I'm with you. If you have not noticed already, I have a small dose of energy. I'm passionate about life. I love to be on the move. And so living in Oklahoma slows things down already. You add COVID to that, it's like you're in a coma. And, you know, I'm used to finding a burrito at 11 o'clock at night, praise God. And they've already rolled up the sidewalks and went to bed. But you have to be knowledgeable, understanding, alerted that God works all. Say all. All things. He never looked down and was like, whoa, what? COVID? Had no idea. He wasn't shocked, wasn't overwhelmed, wasn't even concerned. Because he's bigger. And I want to remind you that we all have convictions, but that we can honor each other's conviction as we're living our conviction. I know some people are terribly upset the church is open. And I know some people are terribly upset that the church closed. But we're all in this together, folks. Like, God is still on the throne. He's still moving. He's still operating. He's still impacting. He's still changing lives in just a different way. And what I've come to realize is I've become so used to the pattern of my life that maybe I'm missing the pattern of his life. That I can miss the why and the what because I get distracted by what's happening. I don't know about you, but I was so excited about 2020. Like, just rewind, boop, 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 to December. Oh, 2020, just get me out of 2019, God. Because 2020 is going to be perfect. 2020 is going to, let's declare, and I believe in that. If you know me, you know that I believe in that. But I also believe that God works all things. That he's in the midst of everything, everywhere, all the time. He's a part of my life more than he's a part of my church. And that's the reality. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. I'm going to preach about the Apostle Paul today. But even with the Apostle Paul, I was thinking, man, I'm so scared. It's faith. God's not giving a spirit of fear. But I was thinking, you know what's amazing is Paul impacted our life more through isolation than through population. You realize that Paul wrote most of the New Testament in prison? That it was the alone times that changed Paul to make the public times more powerful? And I thought, God, okay, let me concentrate on that. Life isn't perfect, but you're along for the journey, God. That wherever I go, you're with me. That whatever I navigate, you are the compass of my life. You're moving me in the right place in the right time. And I love it when I get in front of it and I look back and go, wow, look how God moved in such incredible ways when I didn't even know God was moving. But what I want to do is when I'm back here, I want to declare, no, God, you are moving. No, you are. I may not like it. I may not even appreciate it in this season. But what you're doing in me in this season is for eternal. Because my eyes are not on the seen, but the unseen. Because the seen is temporary. But what God is doing in my life here, the unseen, it's eternal. It's going to outlive the problem. It's going to outlive the circumstance. It's going to outlive the issue. It's going to outlive the struggle because greater is he who's in me. That's the thing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 28. Paul is in a season. He's in a moment. I think that's what we call it. Like, I'm having a moment. Moments shouldn't last 3 months, but we're having a moment. But you can smile through the moments. There's a joy that's what? Unspeakable. There's a peace that's beyond understanding. And so Paul in chapter 28, he's on a journey, not by choice. But I will say that no matter what happens in Paul's life, from others, from himself, or from God, that God's in the mix. And God's working some things that Paul doesn't see, but his faith is declaring who God is instead of declaring what the problems are. That's where I'm at. I want to declare my faith, not my problem. I want to declare the promise. I want to declare the future of my life. I want to declare the next season of my life. I want to declare it instead of worrying about my moment. Because what happens is what you set your mind upon is what will control the path of your life. You need to know God's talking about you, even when you don't think he's talking about you. That God's loving you, even when you don't feel like God's loving you. Even when you feel like you've stepped away, God stepped towards you. Because that's who he is. And so here's Paul preaching the gospel. And as he's preaching the gospel, they arrest him. Not only do they arrest him, but they beat him. And after they beat him, he says, "Do you not know that I'm a Roman citizen?" And in that day, Roman citizen meant a lot. It meant that you could not touch him legally. And if you did, there was an action against you, maybe even death, for being out of order against Rome. And so everyone freaks out and they send him to the king. When they send him to the king, or actually they send him to Festus, and then after that they send him to Agrippa. And when he gets to Agrippa, he starts preaching to Agrippa. And Agrippa's like, "Man, the God that you're talking about, something's stirring in my heart. But Paul, I got to send you to Rome." And so Paul says, "Well, don't put me on the boat now. It's the worst time. The weather's terrible." He's like, "Don't worry about it. You'll be fine." Don't you realize when you're in a season, everyone else is telling you, "Don't worry about it, be fine"? You know why? Because they're not navigating your season. So they put him on this boat, and he starts off in this boat, and as he starts off, a storm hits them. It goes from a storm to panic. See, that's what you have to be careful. Then in the storms, you don't panic. You praise. So as the guards are panicking, Paul is praising, and he hears them saying that, "Hey, we're going to throw off everything overboard, off the ship, and we're going to survive. And let's throw all these prisoners," because they're waiting down the boat. And I love the conviction of Paul. Paul calls over the guard, and he says, "Listen, you can throw me over, but I'm the only thing keeping you alive." And that might sound like a little bit of arrogance, but I think it was an absolute confidence that Paul's saying, "God's not done with my life. That I'm here with an answer." And sometimes you got to declare those kind of faith moments. And so they said, "Okay." And the storm rages. If you read the story, they end up getting wrecked onto a sandbar. The waves are crushing them. And they all jump out for their life, and they begin to swim to shore. This is where we pick up the story. Once they get to shore, it says in verse 1 of 28, "Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness." I want you to remember that. "And they built a fire and welcomed us all, because it was raining and cold. And Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, 'This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess of justice has not allowed him to live.'" But Paul, say "but." You know, when life throws you a curve, God, there's a "but" in there. But God. It says, "But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effect. And the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." I love this story, because what's happening here is Paul is living his life the best that he can live it in the moment that he's in. And he's not being dictated by fear. He's not being dictated by the moment. He's being dictated by what God said he'll do with his life. And so when the guard comes and says, we're going to throw you overboard, he says, no, you're not, because God's not done with me. I remember I was flying into Phoenix, and we were flying in, and it was just after 9/11, so everyone was a little bit on edge. And as we're flying into Phoenix, if you've ever flown into Phoenix or Tucson, you know the heat index, the pockets, the plane's always moving around. And so the pilot is almost, we're about to touch the tarmac. I mean, we're ready to get the ksh, and he floors it, or whatever you do with a plane, accelerates it. And all of a sudden, we take off again. Whoa! And he takes straight off out of Sky Harbor. And we're just going straight up. And we go out to the desert. We're doing these big circles. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this isn't good. You know, it's crazy, because if you'll give your mind moments to think the way it wants to think, you'll think thoughts that are crazy. And I was thinking, man, he's out here burning fuel. It's like, you know, I always thought I would jump up on the plane and be like, we're going to go down, but Jesus loves you. Who needs to get right today? But I didn't. I just tightened my seatbelt, thought, well, God, I don't think you're done with me yet. But if you are, I don't think you're done with me yet. And we were flying. It felt like an hour. It was probably 10 minutes. And finally, the pilot got on and said, hey, guys, sorry about that. That was a little bit of chaos, but there was someone on our runway. And I was actually trying to get away from there, because two planes can't be on the same runway. Here's the thing, is my mind instantly went to what was wrong, but he was actually doing what was right. It was a change in the plan, but it was a good change. I just let my mind begin to worry instead of worship. I begin to see things in a fearful way instead of a godly way. And so we came back and we landed, and all was good. But I'll never forget that moment. Why? Because it's an emotional moment. Do you realize the greater the emotion, the greater the memory? That's how the neurons, that's how your brain works. The greater emotion creates memories. And so if your memory's always what's wrong, you'll train your brain about what's wrong instead of speaking what's right. Instead of renewing your mind and saying, no, I know the plans that God has for me. He's not come to harm me. He's come to bless me. He's come to prosper me. He's come to encourage me. He's come to save me. He's come to forgive me. He's come to love me. That's who God is. And so here's Paul. He's speaking boldness. And I love it, because he's wet. He's cold. He finally gets out of the water. And he's thinking, oh, man, I hope these islanders don't kill us. Like, I got out of the prison. I got into the ship. I got out of the ship. I got into the water. I'm finally out of the water. I'm on land. And he finds out that they had unusual kindness. I want to tell you that in this season, the church needs to be a place of unusual kindness. I'm not talking about just people that are a part of the community. I'm talking about the people that get washed up on shore. We weren't worried about them. We weren't thinking about them, but it's here. The moment's here. And that there's an unusual kindness that comes out of our life to love people, to celebrate people. And that our convictions motivate us in love, not motivate us in what we want them to be. Because you know what I realized a long time ago? I'm not God's police officer. I'm not. He's the judge. He's the lover. I know that people, most 99.9% of people already know what's wrong with their life. We know what's wrong with us. We're just looking for someone to believe what's right in us. Paul's like, I know what's wrong. I've been shipwrecked. I'm cold. It's raining. And he shows up to an unusual kindness. And they're like, we're building fires for you. We don't even know you, but we're going to love you. We're going to look after you. We're going to help you. That in this moment, this unusual kindness begins to grip them, begins to encourage them, begins to love them, begins to bless them. And there's something that happens with Paul. I love what Paul does. They're building fires. And he says, well, let me help you help me. He starts grabbing brush. It's like Paul can't win, by the way, right now. But he's winning. You may think you're losing, but I got a word for you. You're not. You may be going through a moment that is going to build momentum to catapult you in the next season of your life. Paul doesn't realize, but he is being set up for a God moment. And so he takes this brush and he grabs it. And as he's throwing it into the fire, can I tell you something? Everyone loves you. When you're on the mountaintop, when you're winning, when you're going, when things are great, when everything looks good, when your smile is sparkling. But when your life starts going through the fire, things will come out. This snake wasn't startled by him picking him up. It wasn't startled by him carrying it. But when he brought it to the fire, there were some things that came out. What the people didn't realize is the problem was just about to become the testimony. The moment was just about to become the breakthrough. And it says that snake came out of the brush and fastened to him. Everyone around him was like, oh, that's a COVID snake. Oh man, that's a financial snake. We have a name to the snake in our life, right? That's going to destroy us. It says that everyone was worried, but Paul shook it off into the fire. He put it where it belonged. And then here's the thing, as they said, which is kind of crazy, you must be a murderer. Which isn't a big deal if you're not a murderer. The problem is when Paul was Saul, he was murdering Christians. Isn't it crazy that God frees you, but the adversary will bring people to you to remind you where you once were? They know you from where you've been instead of God knows you for where you're going. And so they'd say, hey, you must be a murderer. I'm thinking Paul's like, man, no, I'm not. I know a guy that was, but I'm new. That God has made all things new in my life. God has made all things new in your life. Today, this morning, the Bible says that you woke up with new grace, new love, a new day, a new opportunity, that God's working for you, not against you. That God woke up in his love, not his worry. And so here's Paul, he's shaking off snakes, he's swimming out of broken boats, he's getting on the shore, he's trying to make a fire. It's like, I can't win. But what's unique about this moment is this storm creates a moment. I think when you look through scriptures, there's always a storm that creates a miracle. There was a storm named Goliath that created a miracle in David. There was a storm in a lion's den that created a miracle for Daniel. There was a storm in a family that created the supernatural for Ruth. There's a storm. But God moves in storms. I was reading an article about eagles, and if you've ever been interested in eagles, where I live, there's actually eagles at this lake that we were at. They were dropping down and grabbing fish. And I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. But I was reading this article on eagles. And what I found interesting is when eagles get to a certain age, most of their nests are created in the clefts or a massive tree. And so they put them, and then the mom will push the bird out when it's time. Can I tell you something? I'm pretty sure that bird never thinks it's time. ever. Like, it's never a good time when mom starts nudging you to the edge. You're like, whoa, hey, we're getting a little close. This is closer than yesterday. But you know what? Sometimes we live on the edge and we never step into our greatness. We live on what we can do instead of believing what God can do. And as I read this, I was amazed because what it said, when storms come, most birds are grounded because of the winds and the storm, but eagles excel. When the storm comes and the winds increase, eagles actually can begin to climb and ascend to 5,000 feet, to a mile in the sky, because of the storm and the currents will take them higher. When I was praying, when I read this, I thought, God, I don't want the storm to ground me. I want it to take me. You're not trying to push me down. You're trying to pull me up. You're not trying to destroy me. You're trying to build me. You're trying to encourage me. You're trying to inspire me. You're trying to increase within my life, because it is in the storms of life we see who God is and who we can become. These individuals are standing around and they look at that Paul. One moment they're calling him a murderer, and the next moment they're calling him a god. One moment they're telling him that he's going to die. The next moment is that he can't die. And what does Paul do? He says, no, God is with me. And they begin to give him a list of the things that they need from God. And he says, well, show me the people. And it says that those people took him into the village and he started praying for the sick and they started recovering. Paul was facing a storm, but God was setting him up for a miracle. Paul's eyes were set on some guards that thought the best thing was to throw him overboard, but God was still in control of his destiny. That his destiny wasn't predicted by a person. It wasn't predicted by a moment. It wasn't predicted by a problem. It wasn't predicted by an event. It was built by God. That what God put in Paul, God knew was greater than the ship, than the beatings, than the imprisonment, than the moments of no sleep, than the haves and the have-nots. It was, what was in him was greater. I want to remind you, what's in you is greater. You might be pushing to get to shore to see, oh, okay, this 2020 is my breakthrough. Oh, wait. There's another something in 2020. But I'm not going lower. I'm going higher. I'm building. Sometimes we think failure with God is taking us to the beginning. I want you to see this, but when you're walking with God and you fail, we're not climbing a ladder. You fall off a ladder. You got to reclimb the thing if you can. But when you're on a journey with God, where you fall down is where he picks you up. When my beautiful daughter Mariah was learning to walk, we would walk. She would fall down. I wouldn't say, Mariah, man, this is terrible. We got to go all the way back home. I'm going to take you right where we started. No, I just picked her up and said, all right, here we are. Let's keep going. Sometimes in our mind, we think that our failure pushes us backwards. No, it just needs God to stand us up again and encourage us into our future, encourage us into our tomorrow. Paul is not talking about something. He is living something. Paul does not know about Malta when he's in the ship. He just knows about God. I want you to get that. If you get anything, I want you to get that today. He is caught in persecution. He's caught in a storm. He doesn't know that God has Malta. God's not like, hey, don't worry, because Malta's coming. Paul doesn't know about Malta, but God knows about Malta. And Paul knows about God. So Paul is saying, God, I don't know what you know, but I know you. I'm putting my trust in you. You're bigger than this ship. You're bigger than this storm. You're bigger than these people. You're bigger than this snake. You're bigger than my problem. I'm going to set my eyes on the author and the perfecter of my faith. I'm going to keep moving. Worship team, why don't you come? Isaiah chapter 43 has been a scripture for me this season of my life, because it's who God is. As the worship team's coming, one of the things that I love about Paul is he says that he just shook it off. He didn't talk about it. He didn't reminisce about, oh my gosh, there's a snake hanging off my arm. He just shook it off. We have got to learn in our life that sometimes you just got to shake it off. What they said, you just shake it and go. What you did, no, I'm going to shake that off. That's not who I am. It's a sin that lives within me, but it's not me, is what God says. I'm shaking it off, and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to shake off the pain. I'm going to shake off the hurt. I'm going to shake off the insecurity. I'm going to shake off the issue. I'm just shaking some things off. I'm waking up every day and saying, today's a new day. I'm taking ground today. I'm going forward today. Today is my day. Today's your day. I know you're waiting for the lotto. If I won the lottery, it would change everything. Probably for the worse. But I'm here for you if you win it. Just saying, I want to help encourage you along the way. But we're waiting for something to happen instead of making something happen. Paul's saying, well, when I get to Rome. Paul's not worried about Rome. He's worried about now. He's worried about, you put me in this boat prison with these men. I'm going to speak to these men because this is who I got right now. I'm going to speak to those guards because that's who I have right now. I'm going to speak to this island because this is who I have right now. God, I'm going to speak in my moments because I know who you are. I know who you are. Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2 says this. You guys can start playing. Can we sing that hallelujah song? Is that what we got going? Come on, baller. Guitar to keyboard, let's go. Come on, you can smile at church, right? We can have a good time. Life will try to tell you that it's not going to make it. That you're not going to make it. That it can't happen. That the best days are behind you, but my best days are in front of me. God's not living in my yesterday. God's not like, wow, Dave, I was really proud of you at 22. Really, really proud of you at 36. Well, yeah, on the downhill slope, man, I'm just cheering you on to the end now, Dave. It's not what God's doing. God's saying he's making a path. He's making things. He's building precept upon precept, line upon line. In other words, he builds our life continually. I love this scripture in chapter 43. It says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created Jacob. Maybe you could put your name in there. I know I've already put my name in there. He who created David, he who created Pastor Henry, he who created Mariah, whatever name you want to put in there, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. That's not you're mine one day and next, I'm not sure. God is saying, no matter where you are, you're still mine. Whether you choose me or not, I love you. I'm for you. And I love this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And the flames will not set you ablaze. It goes on in verse 3 to say, because I am your redeemer. Will you stand with me this morning? I am your redeemer. I am the God that is with you in season, out of season. I'm with you in the waters. I'm with you in the rivers. I'm with you in the fires. And sometimes we think like, well, if God's with us, then life doesn't happen. But I love that because God is with me, no matter what happens in life, I can overcome. No matter what I'm facing, I'm not facing a fear, I'm facing a faith. Because he is the encourager. I'm gonna sneak up on her, huh? I don't want to embarrass you.
Yeah.
Too late. He's your encourager. He's so for you. He is so for you. He's got you. Like, I mean, he's got a stronghold on you. He's not going to let you go. Not going to let you go back. He's pulling you forward. It's not about sometimes how we feel. It's about the faith that who he is true. That he's for me. He is undeniably for you. He's for us. He's just running down your sideline, cheering you on, believing. And there's moments of snakes and storms and circumstances and situations, but he's closer, not further. And so I got to see in the unseen. No, God, I know who you are, that you stick closer than a brother. I know who you are. You're my healer. I know who you are. You're my grace. You're my forgiveness. You're my restorer. You're my strength. You are my encourager. You are my joy. I want to speak that. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. Today, Father, we love you and we thank you. I know that today you're after hearts, Father. You are after the love of our life, that we declare that you are the love of our life today. We declare that we know that you're for us, but we're for you. And Father, I break off every limitation, every hesitation, everything that would try to take hold of our life within our mind or within our spirit or within our body. That the venom of people or the venom of the mistake, the venom of regret isn't greater than what you did at the cross, that you overcame all things. All things. Just with your head bowed, your eyes closed, you're here this morning. You say, you know what, David? It seems like something. Life has bit me. And I'm suffering its effects. I want to declare over you that this is a breakout moment for you. That this morning you're going to shake it off in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray. You're going to shake it off. And you're going to walk out of here in victory. Carly, you're going to walk out, wheel out, run out with a new fire in your heart. Look at me, Car. It's a new season. Not been an easy season, but it's a season that's setting you up for the next season. And it's not just because I love and believe in you. I'm telling you, God is for you. God's heard your prayers about your brother. God's heard your prayers about your mom. God's heard that. See, listen, church, when you're the one like breaking the wind, you feel like you're not going anywhere, but the people behind you that you're breaking it for, they are. There's moments, man. We just got to keep shaking things off today. We got to shake off the doubt, shake off the worry, shake off the condemnation, shake off everything that would hinder me. And I'm going to run with perseverance a race that's marked out for me. So if you're here today, you say, you know what, David, today I got to leave something here. I've got to find a new level of freedom. I've got to say no to the voice that keeps speaking my past. I got to say no to the things that have tried to attach to my life that have no business attaching to my life. I've got to throw off everything that hinders me and the sin that so easily entangles me, is what Hebrews says. And I'm going to run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand to the heavens today and say, yeah, right here. I'm right here, God. I know you know, God, but I'm telling you, I'm after you today. I know today. I know today marks a day in my life that I'm going to trust you. I'm casting away worry and fear, doubt. Today's my day. Today's my day. Today's my day. Now look at me. Look at me. If you raise your hand today, I know a lot of you, a majority. You know what? Can you just raise your hand? I know usually we like bow our head. Just raise it. My hand, baby, I got like two hands and a foot up right now. I got to be careful because I haven't preached for 3 months, so we'll be here till like tomorrow in the name of Jesus. No, but there's moments. Look around. You're not alone. You're not alone. We all have some moments. And that's the lie of the adversary that, oh, yeah, you know, that person's so spiritual. If you were like them, if you had what they had, if you were going in the direction they were, it's not true. We're all facing something. But we have a God that's bigger. Yes, we do. We have a God that's bigger. I had my whole itinerary planned out all the way through summer. It all got canceled. Now, I know I love to preach, but it's also candidly financial. And so it's good to get up here. Oh, yeah, God's got you. But when you're sitting at home alone and you're crossing off, not going there, not going there, not like, and you're into July crossing people off, you're like, oh, Lord, forget faith. But no, God, you're faithful. No, God, you're bigger than this. I know church doors are opening, but church doors are closing, but your doors aren't closing. Your doors are wide open. They're still effective. They're still powerful. They're still life changing. They're still supernatural. That's who he is for you today. We're going to sing this song. We're going to sing that. If you want to come to the altar today, you can. Wherever you feel comfortable, God's going to move wherever you are. But as we sing this song, I want a declaration of what, you don't need to remind God what's wrong. I want you to start declaring what's right. No, God, this is who you are in my life. No, God, this is where me and my family are going this year. No, God, I want to remind myself of what you spoke over my life and the prophetic in my life that I'm more than. Father, I pray as we sing this song, God, Lord, that something would loosen the spirit. Something would, Lord, untangle in our hearts, that we would shake off. Lord, there's a hallelujah. There's a hallelujah. There's a hallelujah in us. Come on, church, just raise your hands. Declare something to God today of what you need as we sing this. Come on, declare it today. Listen, I want to pray for you. I want Pastor Henry to come and he could dismiss you, but when you walk out these doors, you got to keep shaking things off. You know what happens is we shake things off in this house and then we get in our car and we have a whole conversation with our past. It's like, no, I don't accept that phone call anymore. I'm going to keep, this week I'm going to keep shaking. No, I don't think that way anymore. I don't act that way anymore. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm walking in freedom. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in understanding to a new level. Why? Because God has more. They thought Malta was going to be a curse. It ended up being a blessing. I'm telling you, God turns things around. Because he opens doors that no man can open and closes doors that no man. He does what no one else can do. It's he who does it. And Pastor Henry, come and I'm going to have you pray for them. But I just want to, can I tell you something? He's a restorer. He won't just give you back what you had. He'll give you back more than you've ever had. He'll give you more and more and more and more and more. Why? Because you're worthy. You're worthy. You're his daughter. Sometimes we look at ourselves skewed a little bit, but God looks at us as his child, just through a lens of love. I know you love God, but I'm telling you, there's more than you could ever think, imagine. That's what God says. He's a God that will do more than we could even imagine. That's his heart for you. He hasn't lost you. You're not alone. You are not alone, hon. That's a lie. You're not alone. Even when you step into crowds and feel like, man, I'm in a crowd, but I'm still by myself, it's not true. It's a lie. You're not alone. He's for you. He's with you. He'll never leave you. And he's going to bring the right people at the right time in the right season for you. And I'm telling you, he's already at work at it. You might feel like you're in the ship, but he's already got Malta. Amen? Amen. He's got it for you. So we're going to shake off and we're going to run out of here. Well, not literally, maybe, but spiritually. Because our days are blessed. And our God is big. And he's for you. He is for you. And I want your pastor just to come and pray over you, release you today. But when you leave, you're leaving with all of God. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in you. It wants to be activated by you. It's not just in there hanging out. Woo! It wants to be activated by your faith, by your declaration. So this week is a week of declaration. It's not a week of drama. It's a week of declaration. Amen? Come on, let's give God praise. Come on.
Praise God. Praise God. Hey, let's thank God for Pastor David that come and minister to us. Amen. Let's give him a warm. Man, we love you, Pastor. Man. Wonderful word. How many enjoyed the word this morning? Wonderful, wonderful word. Hallelujah. Pastor, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Folks, don't forget that Pastor David is in a place where he can't do what, like he said, what he used to do, what he had scheduled to do. So we're gonna let you consider in your heart what God is saying to you about a gift for this brother. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I received something this morning. I received a great word. Great word. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. Folks, God is doing something we have never seen before. I've never seen anything like COVID. Never seen it. But still, God knows where we're at. Amen. He called you for this time. You have been chosen. You have been selected for this. Walk in it. Amen. With the joy of the Lord. He'll strengthen you like never before. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's pray. If you would raise your hands to your Father this morning. Father, we thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for my brother that would come and share what you have on his heart. So, Father, I'm asking you, Father, that you would touch each and every life here, Father God. Let us not lay these things off to the side, but Lord, help us to remind, Lord, Holy Spirit, remind us of things that were spoken this morning. Remind us that you are he that has redeemed us and you have a plan for us. Remind us, Lord. We thank you for that and we praise you for it, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for his blood. We thank you for the covenant that you have made to redeem us, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's give God one more praise and let's sing.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.